The National Football League originated in the 1920s in rural America, then moved to the cities to flourish and prosper. But each summer, the game relives its heritage. Tiny college towns across the country witness the first bloom of the NFL season.
Getting to our Hard Knocks era of our lives, which would be very exciting. I think we might all be in it in terms you're standing on the field.
You're getting your poses ready for watching practice. The fingers under the chin, maybe, as the look.
I'm going to go through the clipboard. That'll make it look like I'm a lot more intense.
He's just drawing a train.
You know what?
The whole
time.
It's a doodle of a train.
Doodling. We both have to have clipboards so then we can consult next to each other.
And then you point to like mine with a pen as you're like...
We turn and we just high five. Good morning. Happy Camp Week. Jeremy and Joe.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning. Welcome to St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe bringing you all the news from Bills training camp. And we're live on the feed. You can watch us on YouTube. You can see that we are indeed at camp.
Yes, we are.
We have more on our table than we ever have before, not metaphorically, but actually more things on our table.
This table is loaded.
Yeah, now that we are here at training camp. So.
I could not eat breakfast on this table right now.
No, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to spill anything. So, we're up and running. We're at St. John Fisher. Early reports after mocking Joe for being the guy that always forgets to wear a quarter zip because it's cold here. He has a quarter zip, and I don't. And it's a little chilly. But the heat index for this week, we're looking at 103, I saw, in Rochester.
Yeah.
So
I won't need much of this week. This week, I don't believe.
Right. So we're here and excited about it. I mean, we drove in today, this morning.
Chill. It's a football chill in the air.
It is. It feels like football. The flags above Grounie Stadium not moving.
No. Nope.
A calm day. Let me tell you, it's a good day to hit a golf ball off a tee at about this time of day. Just you know. It's Rochester.
Do you think we could get away with if we showed up like, you know, an extra 20 minutes early? Just we got a 100-yard turf field here that they don't really use during training camp. Just to hit some 56 wedges.
You know, I feel like
get warmed up.
The Fisher football team might get upset if we did that. They do.
What would it do to the turf? We're gonna take divots in the turf, are we? Or do you think it would do it?
I don't know. Would the black things fly up? The tiny little bees?
Yeah, but there's the got 1,000 of those.
Anyway,
millions.
Watch us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, see us. Sal joins us at 7. Scheduled to talk to with Mike Catalana here in Rochester in the 8 o'clock hour. Sean McDermott opens training camp with his live press conference at 9:15. We'll carry that today. And here we go. We're off and running from St. John Fisher with the start of a football season that, I mean, it's Super Bowl or bust. And, you know, what's different from yesterday? Yesterday, players reported Josh Allen walks in carrying Settlers of Catan.
Someone tweeted that at us, and I thought they had Photoshopped it.
Me too.
We had talked about it on the air yesterday.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But one thing that is different. Already, the Hard Knocks era begins. You know, Josh put together that awesome open and us talking about Hard Knocks. One thing we did not include in that conversation was when we're holding our clipboards and writing what we think, it'll be in slow-mo. There's a lot of slow-mo in Hard Knocks. But more importantly, when you get here, you will see signs from NFL films.
Yeah.
And I want to just read you one here because I don't know if everyone's prepared to do this. You're giving up your NIL rights to the Chicago Bears, among others. There's an NFL film sign that reads, "A film or videotape is presently being shot in this location. In being present at this location, each person in attendance irrevocably consents to being filmed or videotaped and releases NFL films, the Chicago Bears, all producers and users of such film or videotape," blah, 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 blah. The Bears. So, you know, just letting you know.
Yeah.
The Bears have your rights.
The Bears.
Your NIL rights or whatever, maybe just your image.
It's very strange.
It is a little bit, but...
But we'll be seeing cameramen all over. I think it'll look – I think it'll be noticeable.
Oh, for sure.
It'll definitely be noticeable.
Don't you anticipate seeing one of those camera riggings where the person's wearing it because they're walking and it's the steady cam?
That keeps it level.
I don't know.
That keeps it level.
I'm not up on the latest camera technology, but that's –
Boom mics? Someone walking around with the big stick mic?
Boom mics, yeah.
Yeah.
Boom mics. That sounds like a term.
Could they install a Skycam here?
Yes, drones. There's got to be drones.
There will.
What's better than a drone shot of the football practice and all that?
Yep.
So anyway, here we go. 803-0550 is our phone number. We can, of course, take your phone calls and chat about, you know, what we expect. We did get some news yesterday. The punting competition, it's over. All right? There you go.
The punting competition. It was very short-lived.
Yes, Jake Camarda gone, and it looks like Brad Robbins is going to get the punting job unless, you know, something changes. Dawson Knox on the non-football injury list. Would anticipate we get perhaps some explanation on what that means today, you know, what that means for him in terms of any sort of timeline, if there's going to be some time missed, but maybe an update on that. The James Cook story, of course, we're watching the James Cook story, which is not really a story. You know, we talked about it yesterday, Joe. Tom Pelissero and then Ian Rappaport both suggesting that this is something to monitor. And I don't know that it's anything more than just, hey, keep an eye out. Like, it could happen that Cook doesn't participate and holds in. But it doesn't seem to me that there's an expectation of that, only just, tomorrow we'll find out if it's a thing.
Right.
I don't think it'll be a thing. I think he'll probably practice once he get the first snap of running back work. And then, like, all right, that's immediately put to bed. Unless we're going to monitor usage.
I think we would know even before that. If he's holding in, he's not in pads, right? He's not wearing a helmet.
Okay. I mean, they're not even going to be full pads. Right.
There'd be
a designation of some sort.
Yeah. Forgot about that. There's a time in camp where they put the shoulder pads on, and we don't actually start with that. I would imagine that you'll know right away if there's any sort of hold-in, because I'm thinking about Chase last year and maybe other players around the league that have done this, and I don't think they usually dress for it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're carrying the helmet around. Remember Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago when he was trying to get traded out of Houston? He was practicing, but was practicing like it's safety. So it depends maybe what the team wants to do with you or what the player wants to do also. But I would bet we'll know even before they're taking like team reps. Like, if he's holding in, he's not doing anything. He's not dressing up. Like, he's just going to stand on the sidelines.
And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I would be surprised right now.
I guess the way we get there is he said at minicamp, I like my money. I don't want to get fined. So really,
if he's holding in, that is how he doesn't get fined.
Right. He would be here and just, I don't know that your fines are the same. Could the team still, I don't know, issue something, but it's not as serious as not attending? Because hold-ins are, right, they're a little bit of a workaround.
Right. Right. Because he really isn't doing anything. It really is a holdout if he were to do that. It just comes down to whether he thinks at this point that that's going to get him a contract between now and the start of the year if he already hasn't had one. And maybe that it would be dependent on how much conversation there has been between the two sides. Jordan Poyer and the Bills a couple of years ago, that was a conversation. Drew Rosenhaus was here. Right? At St. John Fisher a couple of years ago when he was looking for a new contract, and that never resulted in a holdout or a hold-in or anything of the sort. Cook, like, if they're talking at all and he thinks, they do want me back, we just can't agree on the money, then to me, your hold-in doesn't make any sense. The only reason you would even want to hold-in is if you can't get the team to the table at all.
Right.
They don't even want to talk about it. That's Terry McLaurin right now. Terry McLaurin in Washington, like, he's holding out in part because he can't get them on the phone. It's been like weeks since they've been able to have contract talks. And that to me is very different than, well, I guess we don't know. Have the Bills talked in a month about contract with Cook? Maybe they have, maybe they haven't.
Right. In some cases, Trey Hendrickson kind of aired out the laundry and said the Bengals made two contract offers, and in neither of them was there guaranteed money past year one. So that's the kind of thing where a holdout, like, you're not even being serious here. You might show up to camp in good faith thinking, hey, we're getting closer and closer. And that's the part of the Cook conversation we don't know. You know, it's kind of thing where you would say history would tell you the Bills don't pay running backs, at least Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They did with LeSean McCoy, but that is a somewhat different scenario. They're trying to, I think, get a guy to come here and build the culture and show that they're going to be a real organization. Like, at that time, the Bills are in a much different spot than they are now. It feels like now they can feel a little bit of license to be a little more shrewd.
Yeah.
I don't know that they'd never pay a running back. That's the part about this I don't want to necessarily jump to that conclusion. Would they pay Cook $11 million a year? It's very possible they would. Maybe they could be convinced to if he has another great season. Maybe they would do that now. Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't re-sign their own. You know, look up and down the roster. They love extending their own guys, and it's even players in positions that maybe – I mean, Dawson Knox got a big contract. He didn't even have to wait too long for that. That just kind of happened. Said he'd like to be back. He's back. Mm-hmm. Cook is a little more like Gabe Davis. And that might be because of the player. That might be because of the position. You kind of just don't know. So it's worth monitoring. And the kind of season he has will, of course, affect this. They might think about the compensatory pick formula if he leaves. I know Bills fans are already thinking about that. A couple weeks ago when I asked the question, what's the best-case scenario for Cook between now and the end of the regular season? And the number of people that said to me, have a great year so we can get that comp pick when he signs somewhere else. Like, they're already ready to do that.
Well, but it's kind of the equivalent of this is a big difference between football and hockey, right? Like, you can get what you might – you could get something for losing him. You're not losing him for nothing while also capitalizing on, hopefully, a great season, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not – If anyone's thinking about trading Cook right now, like, you don't even really have to do that, because what are you going to get? You're going to get a draft pick? And what is it going to be, a round or two higher than what you would get at the end of the season anyway if he goes and signs somewhere after a big year?
And that's just not where you are as a franchise. You're in win-now mode. You might say if a player leaves and comp picks, that's for the offseason. This is a team that comes in as the favorite to get the one seed, favored in every single game as of today.
Yeah.
Like, this operation, of course, is going to be about winning. It's going to be all hands on deck to winning. And that's one thing I am interested to see their messaging right here. You know, minicamp is minicamp. When you get to training camp, Josh Allen's here. Everybody's here. They're working every day. They're talking every day. We're going to hear from the quarterback. We're going to hear from the important players on this team, the coordinators. And one big thing for me is, what's their message? We had earlier in the week, I think it was earlier in the week on Monday, that David Montgomery in Detroit said, we're tired of getting close. And that's a message from Detroit. Like, all right, one seed last year, NFC championship game the year before, we're tired of being close. We want to win the thing.
Yeah.
That's a franchise that's kind of gone through a very similar reinvention to the Bills, where they go from this team that never wins anything to a team that feels like they're knocking on the door and they should win a Super Bowl. And they've gone through some turnover, lost an offensive coordinator, but they're tired of being close. All right. They want to get over the line. We know the Bills, of course, want to do that. The question is, what kind of expectation do they embrace with that? Last year, they got a little bit of a break from that. Last year was, nobody believes in us, chip on shoulder, too many changes, and they obviously responded to that well and had a great season. This year, I mean, you're coming off the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Anything short of that, and we're kind of running around the same hamster wheel asking, why did it go backwards? Like, that was one of the things that Stephon Diggs said, of course, before the breakup was, why did we go backwards? He wanted to know, why are we not going in the right direction? We went from the AFC Championship game to divisional round loss, and that's the wrong way to go. Mm-hmm. So I know it's not linear always, but, man, what they're trying to find is 4 more points against the Chiefs or give up 4 fewer points against the Chiefs. Joe, I'm going to come back the entire season to 4 points. Yeah. I got to find a way to be 4 points better on one side of the ball when they get to the final game of the season.
Yep. And really, I think their offseason said that they think that the defense is going to be the 4 points better, right? That's their offense. They kind of even talk this way. I wonder if they would say this, that they would take, what did they score, 28?
They scored 29.
29?
Which is below below their average.
Yeah, it's true. It's below 30 points.
It's a high bar.
I think they would take that. I think they would. Their offseason action said that they would they're more inclined to believe that that four-point difference that they're going to make up is going to be on the defensive side of the football. Mm-hmm. That Kansas City, who has averaged 24 points against other opponents in the playoffs and 34 against the Bills in the playoffs, that it's not going to be 34. That it's going to be, well, we'll keep them to 28 or fewer because other teams are doing that, and now we've got more defensive pieces to be able to do that. I would think that that would be what they would say because that's what their offseason was. I mean, Josh Palmer, they needed a couple of things this offseason. They needed, on offense, a guy who beats man coverage, and they added Josh Palmer and Elijah Moore. Okay, check that box. And then everything else was on defense. Pass rush, cornerback, depth on the defensive line, if you want, interior. Yep. All of that came from the defensive side of the football. So I think that's their plan. Their plan is they're not going to let the Kansas City Chiefs do more against them than every other team is able to do against them in the postseason.
803-0550 to give us a call, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, you can join us. We're streaming on YouTube. You can see our location. The chat is big, wanting to know about our location. Joe and I are seated 2 feet apart at the same table.
Yes.
And we're in this pavilion that is between Growney Stadium, which is the turf field, and the grass stadium's behind us. Yeah. So the players will walk out, as you see behind Joe, through this tunnel into the grass field stadium. Behind me, you might see media members walking in. It's not quite the Today Show, but if you did bring a sign, you might get on our feed. Who knows? But we'll have guests for you. We're going to have Sal coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got enough cameras, we think, to kind of spin that around and have the full coverage from training camp. I'm sorry we don't have a beautiful veranda overlooking the field.
Yeah.
Even if we did, I feel like that wouldn't be that wouldn't work because you're not exactly supposed to, like, broadcast practice.
We'd be in the sun then also.
That's true.
Which right now might be okay. But in 3 hours, listen, it's probably not going to be ideal.
It's going to be hot this week. And,
if you're coming out.
McDermott moving these practices to the mornings, like one of the reasons they did that was to beat the heat. Some teams like to practice. Some coaches like to really push their players, although that feels like it's a bygone era. You know, this is professional sports. You're not trying to necessarily punish players. Two-a-days are a thing of the past. So much has changed since the 90s and the 2000s of the death of Corey Stringer, of course, made all of that really relevant, and teams are up on that. With the heat index, like later today and tomorrow, if this team was practicing at 3 p.m. tomorrow, they would cancel practice, I think. I don't think they would play with a heat index of, 100 degrees, which is what it's expected to be. So you can give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us as we get ready for training camp. And all that comes with it. It's exciting. It's fun to be here. It's good to be here.
There's the EJ Manuel hospitality tent over there.
That hospitality tent.
That's not it?
Did it not used to be? You know what? We'll have to ask Joe B. about that. Joe Biscaglia, the famous hospitality tent tweet. At least I remember it as Joe was the one that tweeted it.
Okay.
I feel like that tent used to be on the turf field because when EJ's here, they're on the turf field. I was going back in time to try and figure out how many training camps I've covered here.
We think it's more than 20?
I think I've crested 20, yeah.
Okay.
Mike Catalana here in Rochester, who joins us at 8, we'll talk. How many is it for him? I don't want to make fun of him. It's like 50. He's been here for a lot of them. I mean, as long as they've been here at Fisher, Mike's been here. So he's always he's like the godfather of camp to me. Well, I always want to start off with Mike talking to him as they get out here to St. John Fisher. I think I'm at 20.
I mean, at some point you go far enough back, and it's before St. John Fisher.
Right, and I never covered
Fredonia.
I never covered one of those camps.
I'm
always here at Fisher. Every time I look at this field, this turf field, I'm thinking about watching coaches work on the footwork. I'm thinking about Nathaniel Hackett coaching EJ up a little bit, and I went for the deepest pull of all when the Bills had a Browns joint practice, and the Browns had a tight end named Chad Mustard.
Okay.
That's where I'm living right now, Joe. I checked when Chad Mustard was on the Browns, and that was 2002 to 2004. So I've been covering training camps since at least then. When did Willis get drafted? Because I asked Paul Hamilton to do the Willis McGahee touchdown tracker. Like that's going way.
He's drafted in 03, but he's hurt, right?
So he's hurt.
Camp of 04, maybe. Yeah. Which is the same. That's the same camp, though. I think the Lossman breaks his leg.
Ooh, is that right?
Wouldn't that be the same camp?
It can't be. McGahee's drafted before Lossman.
Right, but remember, there's a year he misses. Of him not playing.
That's right. I mean, Lossman and Evans are the same draft class. Anyway.
Yeah, McGahee.
It all blends together.
McGahee is drafted by the Bills in 2003, but he plays for the first time in 2004. So 2004,
okay.
I think that lines up. I think it'll be the same training camp.
2004.
McGahee's first camp and then Lossman's first camp.
That doesn't mean I don't go back before Chad Mustard. It's a very specific thing because I'd have been doing the show with Brad at the time, and we made 1,000 mustard-based jokes.
I don't think I have. Maybe this mustard.
The true pro stuff.
I don't think I have a memory of training camp before Lossman, Troy Vincent.
Yeah.
Like what is memorable about the early 2000s or the late 90s? Or I'm sure people have lots of stories about the Kelly training camps, but I don't have anything. My first training camp memory is Lossman breaks his leg.
What a time to be alive. Mm-hmm. Lossman breaks his leg in training camp, scrambling, as a veteran hits him. He breaks his leg.
And then everyone was arguing about whether
it was intentional
it was
or not,
purpose.
Or whether it was sending a message.
Yeah.
And then
sending a message.
When he's ready to come back, his first ever action is in New England.
Okay.
Mop-up duty in New England to be intercepted by Tully Bantakane. Is that all the same year? I don't know. Whatever.
Tully Bantakane and Chad Mustard. What a first segment.
We're doing it. Why not?
These aren't even Bills training camp guys.
No.
These are other teams.
Remember some guys.
Yeah.
We should do that today. Remember some guys.
Yep. The training camp heroes of all time.
Yep. Hey, we've got two.
I'm sure we'll get a couple this year.
That's right.
Last year, Joe Andreessen actually made the team.
He did.
Although, was he less of a training camp hero, more of a preseason hero?
Yeah,
I'm sure he had a good camp last year, but it was the preseason.
It was the Pittsburgh game, right? He shows up at the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah,
you're like, this guy can play.
Yes,
and sure enough, he makes the roster.
Yep,
we'll get a break in 803-0550. What do you want us to look for? What are you going to be looking for if you are coming out here? You know, you come out to training camp, and if you just want to remember some guys, it's really the start of football season. The off season is over. Welcome to the preseason. This is football season. Coverage of training camp from St. John Fisher is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Your phone calls, Sal at 7, coverage of camp throughout, guests along the way. We'll keep you informed here and around the league as we need to. It's Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had, you know, conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations, and we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
That's the Commanders GM. As holdouts around the league continue, some high-profile ones, which they don't happen as often, I feel, as they used to.
No.
But
it's weird, actually. We have a couple this year.
Yeah, McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson. I have not heard the latest on where Trey Hendrickson is driving or what city he's passing through.
was he on his way somewhere else when he was in Jacksonville?
Right. Great question. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe live from Buffalo Bills training camp here at St. John Fisher. And coverage of camp brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We got red helmets yesterday. We got news on the Bills. Red helmets in the final game of the season against the Jets. I appreciated anybody that's a real true complainer slash hater, but in a funny way. I did think it was funny to see people saying, oh, no, Josh will only get one snap in that helmet because they'll play the Jets in Week 18 and they'll have the one seed locked up. That's a good problem to have, but I think the red helmet does a lot for nostalgia, does a lot for the fans of that era. One thing about the red helmet that I guess I had forgotten. I never really pictured it in my head. I was listening when Sal talked to Eric Wood, like, oh, Eric Wood wore the red helmet. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sure.
He did. And the World League uniforms the Bills were wearing in the Bledsoe era, and Marshawn Lynch and Willis McGahee and so many of these guys wore red helmets. And I I feel like the red helmet, how much of the push for the red helmet is a push for the 90s red helmet and not just the helmet itself? Because
definitely,
it definitely coincided with a very forgettable era that we like to remember of Bills football.
Yeah, no, it's the meat of the drought, right? Well, I guess, I mean, there's a seven-year period after, a six-year period after that that's a good chunk too. But they're bad. They're bad yeah. a ton when they're wearing that helmet with the Navy uniforms. And remember, that would have been the red helmet with the Navy stripe down the middle. And that helmet yesterday, that if you saw the pictures of Josh wearing it or Deion Dawkins wearing it, and you get that bright, royalish blue down the middle, it definitely pops more. It does feel different whether it's on the 90s guys or whether it's on the drought guys. Like, it's definitely the nostalgia. The Bills actually, in their video that they put out to, like, pump up or introduce the helmet, it's all 90s. It's Bruce. It's Cornelius Bennett in that yeah. video. It's Kelly. They do, like, a very quick, like, photo collage really quick at the end that they fly through. And if you watch that, I do think right at the end, one of the pictures is Fred Jackson wearing the red helmet in the World League uniforms, the Navy drought uniforms. But that's like a millisecond of a 30-second video that showed an image of anything in that drought era. Like, it's the 90s helmet.
Yeah.
More than it is, you know, the red helmet, just in general. It's the helmet they wore in their best era of football before Josh Allen got here. And they're wearing it with the current home uniforms, which
I think looks really good.
I will admit, like, it for me bothers me a little bit. You gotta be pretty, you gotta care a lot about that kind of stuff, right? Like,
I do.
You gotta know the difference in the yeah. striping and the piping of the 90s jersey versus this jersey. I saw a good take from the NFL fashion Twitter account, which is, like, I get, from that account especially, because I'm sure he cares about this kind of stuff, like, I get anybody that would have a complaint about this not being, you know, the exact match of what the Bills wore
sure.
when Kelly's the quarterback. But what he said is, I actually like this uniform better. I think even though it's a mismatch for, like, the timeline, this looks better with it. Like, this uniform, he, like, broke down why he thought it was better. And for that, like, I understand that. Like, this uniform with that helmet, it does look good. If you didn't know that wasn't the 90s uniform, you might have never noticed
right.
anything.
It certainly looks close enough, and it's important for it to look like it all fits together, which it does.
Yeah.
I saw Brian Mazurowski tweeting out a picture. The Sabres, for a while, wore royal blue jerseys and navy blue helmets.
And navy blue pants.
And that was a bit of a problem.
And navy blue pants.
So, yeah, matching well.
That's probably worse.
Probably.
No, that's definitely worse, right?
We also have the Bills wearing their throwback uniforms twice. Once against the Bucs, once against the Falcons. One of those is home, one of those is road. So we got throwbacks. We've got red helmet against the Jets in the finale. And now we continue to just wait for the rivalry series.
Right.
Which will be this. I mean, the rumors about this one are going to go off the charts. I've got a couple different people saying, like, oh, I've heard it's this, I've heard it's that. It's tough to wait on that one, but we ultimately will. We'll wait for it.
And we don't know when it's going to be dropped.
That's right. Sometime before the Dolphins game,
yeah.
I think, which is week two.
Yeah.
So, week three. Sorry. The Jets is week two, the Dolphins week three.
Right, so it'll be early. I love the uniform matchup they're going to have against Atlanta.
Atlanta's wearing their black uniforms and red helmets.
Yep, the Bills are wearing the Dirty Birds.
The white throwbacks.
White throwbacks with the standing buffalo. Like, that's my favorite. That's my favorite jersey matchup of the season.
Yeah.
What are the odds that Week 18 game, Allen's not going to play in it, in the red helmet?
I'd say the odds are high. He'll get a snap to extend his streak, and that's that.
That would imply, though, the one, not just that the division is over, but that the one seed is over, right?
Yes, yes. That whether,
because last year,
whether they get it or they don't get it, the odds that the one seed goes to the final game of the season, I mean, you have 18 weeks
yeah.
for one team to pull ahead and have a tiebreaker locked up. That's really all that it is.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual to have happen.
I mean, like, last year Last year it was clinched.
Last year it was
Kansas
clinched.
Kansas City rest their guys. They already had it. The Bills don't play their guys because it's not in play. They hadn't clinched
right.
it.
And the NFC went down to the final game of the season in a very odd formula because of the division.
Right.
So it almost
– Right, they played each other
yeah,
one-on-one.
In the last game of the season. The second to last game of the season, of course, is Bills-Eagles. And
yeah.
when the schedule came out and we looked at that, I thought, man, I hope that – that's an odd spot for it. It's such a potential marquee game.
Yeah.
And we might already be talking about, well, how does this fit into what we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks? Like, if the Bills are out of the one seed race, they could be locked into a two spot or locked into a one spot. And so could Philadelphia. So
yeah, that's right.
It's an odd spot for that game, but anyway.
What's more likely, though? The fact the Bills will have it wrapped up or the week 18 or that they will be out of play for it? That they would have it wrapped up, right?
I guess so.
Like, if they're not playing guys, wouldn't you think it's more they've clinched the one seed?
And somebody else did.
More than someone else has it clinched and
right.
they're too far back?
There's a reason they're the favorite for it. It's because of the division, right? Like, the division is some...
And the schedule.
The schedule, the division, but mainly the division.
Yeah.
They are the most likely to have their division wrapped up. They're the most likely to, I don't know, their schedule, their opponents. We'll see. It's tough. It's tough to go that far ahead. We don't know what kind of injury luck or bad luck they'll have. We just want them to get out of training camp healthy.
Yeah.
You know, today we find out and see if Joey Bosa gets reps. And that's a guy that we expect to be battling injuries. Never mind if, you know, knock on wood, somebody that I won't even mention because I won't speak it into the universe.
Yeah.
You know, a couple guys would be really big losses in training camp. I'm trying to think of the biggest loss the Bills ever had in training camp. Maybe we shouldn't even do that. I don't want to.
I mean,
Reggie Ragland.
He hadn't played a down though.
Right, and he never did.
He never played for the Bills.
He never did.
They traded him to Kansas City.
Yeah. So
back when Chiefs traded.
Other than that, like, what's the biggest camp injury? I don't know. There've been some where guys get dinged and miss some time.
Like last year, Curtis Samuel gets hurt, and that kind of affects him the whole year.
Sure.
Doesn't it?
We mentioned Lossman, but he was not set to start.
No.
Was he?
No, Bledsoe's still on the team.
Right.
Right?
Kevin Cobb.
Am I right on that? Bledsoe's still on the team?
Yeah.
Or is that Holcomb?
No, it's Bledsoe for a year, I believe.
Maybe not. Kevin Cobb slipping on the mat, right?
Kevin Cobb is a big one.
That's a big one. Yeah, but what about like in Poyer, remember, got hurt a couple of years ago, but he only missed – miss any game action, right?
Let me
right?
tell you, Poyer
– His elbow. He was screaming.
Yes, I remember that because he was in such – clearly in such pain.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be okay.
Right.
Like, whatever happened, it was – looked horrible.
He played with that. He had a big brace on his elbow that whole season.
Yeah.
So, same thing. Like, you could pick up an injury that affects you throughout camp, but thinking of, like, a guy that – got hurt, and, like, that was, like, a major injury, missed time. Nothing's coming to the top of my mind. I'll ask Sal this at 7. I think it's probably a good sign that all the injury news we had yesterday about this guy's going on this list and this guy's going on that list. Joey Bosa's not on a list right now, right?
No.
He's not on the PUP list. He's not on the non-football injury list. He's not on – I don't think he's on anything.
Yeah,
unless I'm wrong about that.
Not as of yesterday. I'm still going to be.
I think that's good news.
On Bosa, I'm going to live here the whole year. 8 sacks is a great year for him, and healthy for the 8 sacks and healthy for the playoffs is a great year. I don't know that I should expect him to play all 17. I'm not sure I want him to. I want to go with load management, and you know, this team, the way that they play, like, can they get up and rest guys and get younger guys in? I mean, it's whatever. It's people might say we're, like, looking ahead so much, but expectations should be very high. Get out of here healthy. Make sure there's no significant injuries, which is, you do the best you can, and, you know, take your chances. Bosa, I'm eager to see him, see what that turns into. You know what else is going to be interesting is Michael Hoyt. Like, Michael Hoyt's their first move in free agency.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was universally, ooh, I like that idea. He's a malleable piece, whatever, within formations defensively, chess piece. And with that, we're going to get a look at him for the next 6 weeks, right? Camp, preseason. We'll hear about it from Sal, like what kind of skill set maybe he brings. And out here at training camp, his size and what he does. And then he's got to go away for 6 weeks. So maybe we get a nice teaser of what Hoyt can be, and then we have to say goodbye until week seven. So he's one that's been interesting to me since the moment they signed him. I thought it was it just immediately stuck out as, all right, that sounds like a good idea. If you're a defensive coordinator that's looking to get more exotic, more aggressive, a guy that can do that kind of stuff, you know, he's not exactly like the highest profile guy, but whatever. The scouting report on him seemed to be like, all right, I like the idea.
There's the clip of him covering DK Metcalf as a slot corner that went viral after the Bills signed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good at everything. Maybe not amazing at any one thing. Does that sound right about Hoyt? But that can still be very useful when the offense doesn't know what his role is on a given play. I mentioned that Metcalf clip. He could line up at slot corner and he's covering the tight end and maybe holding his own, or he's coming off the edge on a blitz. Or on the next play, he's playing defensive tackle because it's third and long, and now he's an interior pass rusher. So it's just that one, though, is just so deflating about him missing six games, because you don't have any sense of what that will look like until middle of the year. Is there somebody else in the defense they feel like they can use in that role? They've got some big games early. Baltimore away.
Well, I mean, it's big.
It's big. I mean, talking about the one seed and the importance of that, like that Baltimore game is so early, but, you know, that's a tiebreaker. That's a tiebreaker against the other team that's favored with you to win the AFC. And it happens right out of the gates, and that's at least it's only one guy you won't have. So hopefully they stay healthy otherwise.
803-0550 to join us. We're also going to debut a segment we might do, like, maybe every day, Fantasy Find and Fantasy Fade, because
other camps open.
We are in the tracking stats at camp phase.
Yes, we are.
Which receiver led this team in targets on day one of camp?
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about whether or not we've got a fantasy find or a fantasy fade. I've got a quick one to run by you tomorrow for next segment. So we'll do that, and it's a nice way to check in around the league. Sal joins us top of the hour. We're live from St. John Fisher. Give us a ring, 803-0550. We can take your calls. If you want to throw something our way, you're more than welcome to join us. If not, hang out, and then we'll keep you covered here. From Fisher, first practice on the way today. We've got to start getting our bets in on first Bill on the field.
Oh, yeah.
That's always big.
No, big tradition. The practice field, not the auxiliary field.
No, practice field. Okay. Who's the first one through the tunnel? Who was it last year?
It was
it a receiver?
It was a depth guy. Was it Shavers?
Has to be.
Might have Shavers.
It is Tyrell Shavers' season. Let's go.
He does dominate.
Training camp. Yep. He looked good last year. Last year, I thought, was the year. And
last year, in first-team reps.
And then he averaged 69 yards per catch. I'm saying, give him a chance.
Uh-huh.
The efficiency's off the charts. The team loves its efficiency. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher here on WGR. R.I.P. Ozzy Osbourne. In this moment, I won't talk about how much this song is played at a lot of sporting events.
Yes,
Jeremy
it is.
Joe, good morning. I did watch the final performance. I did not know that he had that one last performance, like almost like a tribute with all these bands and saying, Mama, I'm coming home one last time. And that was, watching that was pretty powerful. Like, people in the crowd crying. It's almost like they kind of knew this was all coming. I mean, he was very old and slowing down. So, a legend of the rock world, metal world. We are live from
ate a bat.
He ate a bat. Funniest
can't,
thing.
Can't mention Ozzy Osbourne without mentioning that story.
Funniest thing I saw was a picture of Ozzy Osbourne and Randy Johnson together, and the comment was, "I would hate to be a flying creature in that room." that's the best thing I saw.
That's good.
Because Randy Johnson once obliterated a bird, and Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off of a bat. Yeah. All right. There you go. Jeremy and Joe, the fantasy find, fantasy fade, I was just going to mention. Day one of Chiefs camp, I saw two things. One, shocker, Mahomes bomb to Worthy. Well, that was a quack, quack.
Uh-huh.
A little duckish. Whatever. Fade Mahomes, fade Worthy. What I did see was that Rashee Rice led the Chiefs in targets on day one, Joe. So fantasy find or fantasy fade because of his potential suspension.
That's a find in part because I think that suspension is probably not coming until next year.
I don't know.
That seems to – some people seem to believe that, although –
they don't usually do it.
It kind of comes out of the blue. Like, remember when Vaughn got suspended last year? Like, that just kind of happened. Like, it wasn't like weeks of preparing for, like, he's definitely getting suspended.
Yeah. I feel like these suspensions usually come during camp, and if they don't come now,
yeah,
they don't come. Like, the league lets these teams – here, let's go ahead and let you plan for that. We'll see.
Well, they like to make sure there's resolution on all the legal stuff first.
Which in the case of Rice, has happened.
That has now happened, yeah. So, okay, maybe we'll get there.
Sal Capaccio's taking pictures of us to tweet out. You can join us on our YouTube stream, the WGR 550 channel. We're streaming live from St. John Fisher, of course, on the air. We're on the WGR app. Join us however you want to join us. Happy to have you along. Sal sits down with us to get our first camp conversation in. Sal Capaccio coming up on the other side. Hear from St. John Fisher on WGR.